Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
It's Football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Here's an interesting way to start Football at 4. Zach, you're on The Fan. What do you got to say, Zach? Zach? Oh, Zach was going to be really interesting. Zach was going to say Colin Cowherd says the Broncos are going to be a dumpster fire. And I disagree. We have audio of that? There you go. We have so much audio today, it's ridiculous. Oh, right here. I got you. Here we go.
Denver Broncos, number 10. Great organization, high expectations. John Elway's impatient. And oh, yeah, they almost fired their coach last year. And by the way, they bring in Case Keenum. And everybody in Denver's like, oh, he won 13 games for the Vikings. He's going to be great. Case Keenum's record was way sub 500 before he entered a great roster in Minnesota. Again, this division's really good. They almost fired their coach. And John Elway is not a patient man. Denver, number 10.
Number 10 overall?
Or is that the coach's hot seat?
I don't know. Oh, top 10 dumpster fires. So we're number 10. So we're barely a dumpster fire. Well, his logic makes sense. He's not lying about anything. You know, Vance did almost get fired. John's not a very patient guy. Case Keenum. The quality of quarterback of Case Keenum. I don't know. I mean, I've said for months that he's probably 18th, 19th, 20th best quarterback in the league, you know. Can win with that. I mean, where was Trevor Siemian? Where would you put him in the league? Where would you put Paxton Lynch? 60th? 50th? Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Trevor Siemian was a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
You know, after a strong start, I don't know what happened. Just not good football, you know, and I think that, once again, man, the coordination, you know, I'm never, ever going to start an explanation about a game or that was won or lost around here until I tell you about the coordination that took place in the game. Because I think there are smart plays, there are dumb plays, and then there are players who can execute, and there are some players who make critical mistakes. And those aren't on the coaches. If a guy is running with the football and he is tackled and the ball is fumbled, that's on the player. That's not on the coach who called the play. But if a coach keeps calling a five-step drop and you don't have tackles to protect that long, then you got to be more realistic about what you're asking guys to do. I know it's part of your base offense. They just can't run it. So don't call it. So I think that last year there were a lot of question marks about this team going into the season, but the one that I tried to explain last year, and a lot of people didn't pay attention to it because it was, you know, we have a new head coach. Well, yeah, but we do have a new offensive coordinator, and we have a new defensive coordinator, and we have a new special teams coordinator. Two out of the three were really bad, and one was okay. So what do you expect? What's supposed to happen? I mean, if two out of the three coordinators are getting mashed on by every other coordinator that they play against, how in the world do you think you're going to win games? It starts with the play calling and knowing what your team can and can't do. And I will not start a game review until I tell people about what the coordinators did in getting guys in position to make plays.
All right. Well, no more excuses. That's for sure.
Well, I mean, even you know, we still don't know, you know, who Bill Musgrave is.
We sure don't.
We don't. You know, no. I don't even know the special teams coach's name. I can't remember it. I mean,
it's McMahon.
Okay, so McMahon. Well, I don't know. You know, he sounds good, but don't all the special teams coaches sound good at the beginning of the year?
They all sound like army sergeants.
You know what I mean? They're not
generals, but they're the sergeants. They run the grunts, but they all sound good.
Just think how bad our special teams was last year.
It was the worst.
I just need you to
it was awful.
Think how bad our special teams was.
It was just,
we had 22 Janos.
Okay, we gave up a kick return for a touchdown. We fumbled. We muffed the punt five times.
Six. Well, I mean, he gave it up six times.
Man, just crazy. Crazy routine plays. Routine plays. It was the worst special teams performance I think I've ever seen in 1 year. Even when I was with the Cincinnati Bengals, when we were terrible, we didn't have a year like that in special teams.
On the RamosLaw.com text line, John Elway is not patient because the fans are not patient. We want championships right now.
Well, we still plan on doing that. So, you know, I think that, you know, we got to make the strides that we made and you know, have high expectations. We always do. I think that if you don't, then, you know, if you're planning for down the road, then, you know, you should probably be in a different fashion. I think, you know, every time you come to the NFL and feel like we can compete and put things together and work together as a team, then we have a chance to be competitive.
Yeah, John wants to win right now. No doubt about it.
Everybody should. I mean, it's you can. You can if you have a right plan. You think last year the Minnesota Vikings thought that they would make it to the NFC Championship game when Sam Bradford went down? No way. Did you see the year before when Case Keenum was playing with the Rams and he was just, you know, subpar? The guy had a terrible year with the Rams. But you know what? The coordination wasn't good. The coordination was terrible. It was terrible. And you know what? They fired that coach and say that's some 79 BS. You remember right. That, right?
Scott, you're on the fan. Yes, Scott.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
All right. One of the biggest issues, I know everybody likes to hammer Trevor Siemian. He turned subpar the second half of the year. But the other day you guys were talking about how he had the opportunity to get everybody together, and he missed that opportunity.
He did.
Part of the big problem with that, though, is Vance Joseph didn't assign a starter until right before the season.
It was a big problem.
He knew Paxton Lynch was not ready. He knew that he should have put a starter in place. And even if he thought Trevor was a mistake, at least name the starter and let the guy get first.
No, that's not true. That's not the way it works.
Name the starter after a minicamp.
I mean, that's not the way it works. That's not the way it works.
I'm sorry. Did you just say name a starter before training camp?
Yeah.
No, you're right.
No, that's not the way it works.
But Al, that's what VJ more or less said today.
But today, they don't have a question about who's the starter. Last year, you have a guy who was a first-round draft pick.
Okay? No, it was a mistake last year to just not make your mind up before training camp started.
You can't make that mistake. You can't do that, man.
Dude, because everybody has said it.
If it was me, you know, I'll tell you what I would have done, okay? I would have named Trevor Siemian. I'm just telling you, just from what we saw in the previous year, going 9-7, and I know he didn't play in one of those games, but going 9-7, Trevor Siemian would have been the starter day one. Okay, unless I drafted a guy in the first round, you understand that.
Yeah, but this literally everybody has said it's so much better this year that we have a starter named.
Everybody has said it's better, but are you telling me that, you know, we did this whole exercise to talk about how unusually rare it was for a first round draft pick not to play in year three.
Well, we didn't say it had to be Trevor Siemian. You could have named Paxton Lynch the starter.
I'm just saying, but that guy who came into this year last year was 9-7 as a rook, and basically a first year player.
Yeah,
9-7 as a first year player. You think we may have something?
Yeah.
So it was just a tough decision, man. I mean,
I think it was a mistake.
I think it went the way it was supposed to go.
It should have been.
You know what? If it was me, I would have went with the guy that was 9-7, unless I had my talented first round draft pick sitting on the sideline for two seasons, and you're not going to even play him. Who drafts a guy in the first round and doesn't play him?
The Denver Broncos. When we come back, more of your calls. We'll get to that audio, too. This is so different than last year. We'll see if it translates next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
You're listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Oh, yeah. The National Weather Service has issued a tornado warning for northeastern Arapaho County. Wait, don't I live in northeastern Arapaho County? Do I not? Where do I live? Eh, maybe not. Southeastern Adams County until 4:45. At 4:10, a severe thunderstorm capable of producing a tornado was located 10 miles northwest of Cottonwood Valley, 36 miles north of Lyman, moving southeast at 25 miles an hour. Tornado and golf ball size hail are possible. There will be flying debris that'll be dangerous to those caught without shelter. Mobile homes, and we all make choices. Be careful. There you go. Summer in Colorado, Al. You know when this happens here in Colorado?
In the evenings.
Yeah. Every year this time. So there you go. Be careful. Be careful. They've moved all the Broncos practices from every single Broncos practice is 9:30 to 12:30. With walkthroughs that the public is not invited to between 3:30 and 4:30. And I'm going to guess most of those walkthroughs will probably happen inside the multi-million dollar field house that they built. Was out there today. The fields look spectacular. The hill is ready for you as the fans. They have, you know, they've got that sort of that plateau area. It's a flat area where you can, yeah, it's good. You can go and sort of chill out a little bit. There'll be vendors up there. There'll be shade up there. You know, because it can be kind of exhausting just sitting in the sun. And when you're sitting on the hill, you'll see end zones near you. You won't be on the 40 or 50. You'll be in an end zone. You'll essentially be in the theoretical south stands. Just to, you know, sort of sum it up for you. But the viewing angles are great because you can see a ton. If you're willing to go a little bit higher up on the hill, you can see everything. That's where the Belichick spies hang out with their cameras. And tomorrow it starts. A Saturday start. Doesn't happen all that often, Alfred. And we start on this. We're late. One of the latest teams to start training camp. But off and running, and we'll be broadcasting live tomorrow. And it gets going from 9:30 to 12:30. Don't expect a lot of fireworks necessarily tomorrow, correct, Al? Be kind of relatively benign as they just get going.
Yeah, I think that it'll be a good day for autograph collecting. The players should be in a good mood. First day of training camp is...
should be a pretty packed day, you know, considering the first day is a Saturday.
Yeah, and on top of that, you know, the weather will probably be agreeable early tomorrow morning. I think I saw the weather reports have been like...
Let me check with Steve Jobs on that.
I think
real quick.
It was like, nice.
That was described.
Yeah, I mean, nice. But, you know, when you live in Colorado, man, you know, the last few days it's been really nice and cool at night, sometimes in the morning, and we got away from some of those, you know, 95, 100 degree days.
It looks beautiful. It looks sunny, 70s.
Yeah. I mean,
for training camp tomorrow with clouds coming in the afternoon, just like right now. I mean, they used to stupidly have these split practices where they would practice from 2 to 5:30 in the afternoon. You remember those?
Yeah.
It's like end of days. We're dodging like lightning strikes.
Well, that's coaches doing what other coaches have done before them.
Yeah, dumb.
For many, many, many years. I mean,
never understood it.
Yeah, well, it's called, you know, this is what everybody else has been doing, so let me do it too.
Yeah, now the Broncos, it's more just like a 9-to-5 job, you know? 9:30, they probably get in at what? 7:30, something like that?
Yeah, 7 o'clock.
Start getting on the field around 9:10, 9:15.
Walkthroughs around, you know, first walkthrough is maybe the first walkthrough is 25 minutes before practice start. And then you do the warm up, and then you go through some drills, and here we go. But you know, it's important that you know, and I think when Vance started talking about it today, you know, the most important part about training camp is making sure your guys get through healthy. You don't want to do anything that's going to jeopardize your guys to not be available for the start of the season.
I absolutely love, by the way, where we're broadcasting from, because we're right on the sideline, which is great. Under a tent. Really cool stuff. So the coverage, I think it's awesome. I think this is the best spot we've ever broadcast from during training camp. They used to stick us like behind tents where we would sit and broadcast, and we literally could not see anything.
We used to broadcast during our show from Dove Valley, and it was almost every other day. Lightning storms and rain, and I was like, hey, you can stay here, D-Mac. I'm going back to the studio. I'm not, you know, hey, every coach that I've been around.
Nobody runs from a lightning strike faster than Alfred Williams.
Hey, listen, every coach that I've ever been around has been afraid of lightning. They have, they must have seen something in their past life because I have never, ever seen a football coach who is okay with even lightning, even 10 miles away. So, you know, maybe I inherit that from the paranoid coaches that I've been around, and maybe for good reason. I mean, you would feel really awful if you could have just stopped practice and restarted it after, you know, after a good advice. So we got away from that. We practice in the morning.
Yeah.
This is Colorado.
Yeah, it's all good. It's off to not a lot of drama. We'll go through some of the other messages from the barbecue from earlier today. And, you know, where are your thoughts? Where are your heads at? Meanwhile, the Rockies have a very cool homestand with the Oakland Athletics this weekend. All sorts of good stuff. Troy Rank joins us about all of this next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
I think it's huge for our team to have a starting quarterback in place. You know, in a league, Nikki, that's built for parity, right? You know, from top to bottom of your roster, every team's got talent, but the one position that makes a huge difference is quarterback. You know, and we do have one in place. We have a starter. You know, so that's exciting. It's exciting for our team, obviously the football part, but the leadership part. Okay, when you're competing to be the quarterback, it's hard for a guy to be a great leader. You know, it's Case's team. You know, and it being his first time being a guy, he's embraced the role of being a leader. And obviously he's won games in the past. So it's definitely, it's given us clarity, you know, for our football team. You know, we're not guessing who the quarterback's going to be. Okay. We're not guessing who the leader's going to be. It's Case. So that's obviously made our football team better.
Strong words by VJ, Vance Joseph. Troy Rank joins us. By the way, that thunderstorm tornado warning has been extended to 5 o'clock. Just heads up if you're driving around out there. Troy, our Denver 7 Broncos insiders, presented by the Tranny Law Offices. If there's one theme that I've heard more than anything, it's just that. It's a great weight off everybody's shoulders that we know who our starting quarterback is starting tomorrow. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, D-Mac, last year you had the decision and we had fun with it.
Right.
This year they feel like they've got the solution. And if he is, and he plays anything like he did last year in Minnesota, their chances of rebounding increase dramatically. If he goes back to who he was prior to last year in Minnesota, then it's going to be tough sledding to have a winning record. But I can tell you, every player I've talked to, like you said, it's just like a sigh of relief that we're not dealing with drama at the most important position on the field. So we'll see. I know Case Keenum has certainly embraced it. Now can he go out and play like he did a year ago?
This year is important for so many people around here, and I think the two guys who may feel the most pressure, believe it or not, in my opinion, may be Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas. Have you gotten a sense that these guys understand what's at stake this year, knowing that they are in the final years of those contracts?
Well, they certainly understand the prism in which they view it has changed because of the fact that there was a chance during the offseason that one or both might not be here. They were chasing a veteran quarterback, first Cousins, then Keenum, and it's hard to get a guy to sign if you're just shedding your best receivers. But they would be naive not to realize things are changing around here. And you drafted two guys in Courtland Sutton and Deshaun Hamilton, who by all accounts are going to push to get snaps. Now, what does that mean? Will they produce rookie receivers? It's tough, but they have put themselves in a position now to push Sanders and DT. They've changed the wide receivers coach to be more aggressive in how they coach Sanders and DT. So I would agree with you. There's pressure on them, but they need to have Manuel healthy, number one, because when he's healthy, he's a productive player for them. And somebody has to develop in the middle of the field, whether that's Jake Butt, whether that's Deshaun Hamilton, pick a guy. They've got to develop a threat in the middle of the field to allow Sanders and DT to reach their potential this season.
What were your takeaways from Joe Ellis about the ownership situation today?
Well, he was a little more candid than usual. I think he clearly framed it, purposefully or not, that it's Brittany Bolin's to lose. Now, he didn't say that, and those aren't his words, but that was my takeaway from it, that she is the one they viewed as the most qualified to eventually take over, but she's years away. She's in her 20s and just starting work for a consulting firm, so it would take a grooming process. He would not comment on Beth Bolin Wallace's desire to be the owner other than to say that he stands by the press release, which earlier this summer, they said she's not capable or qualified at this time, and he didn't add anything to that. He did look tired, though. Joe looked like, this thing is kind of worn on him, and he was asked directly, do you want to see this through? Do you want to keep doing this? And he said he did because he felt he owed it to Pat Bowlen to see it through and to see if a child could emerge as the clear contender. But one thing was interesting, EMAC. He said that, would you consider selling, the possibility of selling?
Right.
He said, not really. But that's a slight window crack.
Right.
That's different from years past. That's different. And that, again, it just looked like this whole summer has kind of worn on Joe Ellis as well.
To me, I agree. I thought the door was absolutely open to the possibility that the team gets sold. In fact, Al and I were talking about it earlier in the show. And if I had to flip a coin and say, heads or tails on being sold or going to a Bolin, I'd actually say being sold at this point. Because Beth is, according to Joe Ellis, look at the press release, and they weren't very kind in the press release. And Brittany's just 28 years old. She hasn't even started working for that consulting group, McKinsey. So,
right.
I'm sure Joe will want to get this done at some point if Joe's 61 years old, right? It's very understandable that a decision would need to be made by the time he would step down, right? There's no way he's going to step down before that decision is made. So I could see it coming within the next 3 or 4 years, no matter what.
Yeah, and I asked him if he thought the public drama was going to change the NFL's stance toward the trust, and he said no, and the NFL has expressed confidence in how they've handled it, but the NFL, as we know, hates distraction. And you wonder if this keeps going or if someone chooses to litigate and it becomes a public issue, would that accelerate this? But the problem is you can't accelerate Brittany's life experience. She's still, whether it accelerates into later this season or next year, she's still not going to be 30 to take over a $2.6 billion business at that age. That's difficult for anyone. And so we'll see, but it's definitely worn on them here, whether, they publicly say that. That's just my observation, that it's definitely much more of an issue than it was a year ago.
I have to ask you about what's going on with our 2017 third-rounders, Carlos Henderson. Because of the HIPAA laws and everything that could be surrounding this situation, I thought there was going to be nothing said, but Andrew Mason, and he's on Twitter at Mace Denver, said that wide receiver Carlos Henderson is having some family problems right now. It's on Carlos as to when and whether he wants to return. That's from Vance Joseph. What is going on? Do you understand what's going on here, or how? What do we know about this situation?
Well, it's not great for Henderson any way you paint it. I mean, it's been described to me as both a personal and family issue. And Vance said it as you, he said that on multiple occasions, both in June that he's got to compete to make the team. And then today, you know, he basically said he's got to decide if he wants to come in here and compete, and almost hinting that, you know, does he want to still do this? And again, they keep qualifying it with it's a family issue. And, you know, I respect that. And, you know, you hope that all everything works out with that. But the underlying issue is this. He needs a great camp to make the team. So if he misses the first couple of weeks, I mean, I don't see how he makes it, Alfred. I really don't. I mean, they've got Deshaun Hamilton. They've got Sutton. They just signed Philly Brown. I mean, if Isaiah McKenzie doesn't put the ball on the ground in camp, I could see him making it. You know, I mean, I just it's stacked against Henderson right now. And every minute he misses only hurts his chances.
All right, really quick, any moves expected by the Rockies as we get closer to the trade deadline?
Well, again, they've added a reliever who's pitched everything from the 7th to the 9th. I like that addition. Keep an eye on the Washington Nationals. I said this in the morning program. If they tank and lose Friday, Saturday, Sean Doolittle would be in play. Ryan Matson could be in play. And you look at a guy like Herrera who could be in play. So I would just say, D-Mac, they might be done. But there's a team out there in Washington, if they lose their first Friday and Saturday, they'd have three relievers on the market that I would definitely make a run at one of them.
Okay. Great stuff, Troy Rank. We appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow at training camp, Troy.
Can't wait, guys. Take care.
Troy Rank from Denver 7, brought to you by Tranny Law Offices. Okay, one day away. It all starts tomorrow. The Drive on the Fan.
It's The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Tyler, you're on The Fan. Good afternoon, Tyler. What's happening?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Okay. Chub, chub, chub. Indeed.
Hey, so I got a couple of comments regarding Colin Cowherd's top 10 list. He said that the AFC West is a tough division, but his number one team on that list were the Oakland Raiders, with John Gruden at the helm. And then also, what kind of team are we going to get in the Chargers? The one that continuously found ways to lose, or the one that would make a second-half playoff push? And third, the Chiefs, yeah, they're a talented team. Kareem Hunt, Travis.
Sorry, dude.
Quarterback.
Oh, there you are. Boy, you're asking so many questions, and your phone's breaking up. I'm sorry, Terry, Tyler.
I think he was trying to give his assessment of the AFC West.
Is he just looking at that? What is it? What does he think about the AFC West? That weighs off. Yeah. I think Gruden's going to be a dumpster fire. I don't see that really connecting. I think the Chargers are going to be tough, and the Chiefs are a bit of an unknown. It sort of depends on what Patrick Mahomes turns out to be as a quarterback. I think it's up for grabs, like most divisions are every year. You just don't know, Al. The great thing about the NFL is because of the draft and free agency, every team has a ton of turnover. Who knows? You know, that's why, you know, the degree of difficulty with your schedule, I kind of always roll my eyes and shrug my shoulders because just nothing ever stays the same. We'll see. I would make no presumptions. The only team that I would just be amazed if they were any good this year is the Seattle Seahawks. The amount of change, but, you know, they got Pete Carroll and he's a great coach and they've certainly learned how to do things before, but it would surprise me that the Seahawks turn out to be any good. I think, to me, if there's a lock of the year for the Broncos with a win, it's that first game against the Seahawks.
Not me. Lock of the year? Look at this list again. The Jets is the best case scenario for the lock of the year. Everything that's happening with the Denver Broncos is based on whether or not we can have good quarterback play and can we run the football.
Wait, do you think there's a lock of the year next year or not?
This year?
Yeah, this coming year.
The Jets.
At the Jets, a road game is the lock of the year?
Yes.
Oh, come on.
Who's their quarterback?
By then, Sunday, October 7th, their quarterback will be Sam Darnold.
That's the lock of the year.
I don't know, man. I don't put locks in the East Coast. It's got your favorite 11 a.m. start.
And leave 2 days early. Not worried about it now.
I don't know, dude.
But to say Seattle is a gimme?
Well, who else would be a easier win than Seattle this year?
The Jets.
Besides the Jets, who else you got? Who's number two?
Cleveland.
Okay. I could go with you on that if you want. Although, boy, they got a lot of players there in Cleveland now. They got a lot of players, and that is deep into the season. Saturday, December 15th. Time to be determined. Ah, no, man. You got literally all offseason to prepare for one game against Seattle, and Seattle is all over the place.
Not really.
You don't think Seattle's all over the place?
No, I think that that's a good football
really?
Team.
You don't think they've gone through unbelievable amounts of change there this offseason?
No, they've lost some big-time players on the defensive side, but that doesn't mean that they haven't done a good job.
You want to handicap the wins like it's a golf course and give me 1 through 16?
I don't want to, but you know to say that Russell Wilson is a give-me win?
Everybody's got a good quarterback, Al.
Yeah, really.
Which team does not have a good quarterback?
The Jets and the Cleveland Browns.
And you don't think Tyrod Taylor's a good quarterback?
I think that
he
is okay.
You don't think Teddy Bridgewater's not a good quarterback?
I think he is.
Well, he plays for the Jets.
Yeah, but I don't think that he's going to be playing.
Oh, wait. What am I talking about?
Do we play the Buffalo Bills?
No. Teddy Bridgewater plays for the Jets?
Yeah, the Cleveland Browns. You say that who? Tyrod Taylor? Tyrod Taylor plays for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, I know.
But, I mean, I'm looking at this list over here with the Seattle Seahawks on opening day. They have wide receiver Brandon Marshall, Tyler Lockett, Doug Baldwin as the three top wide receivers. They have a left tackle in Duane Brown that is going to be a superstar. They picked up DJ Fluker, moved him in the right guard. Listen, that's a solid roster. That is a solid roster, and they're going to start the season off, no doubt, with Rashard Penny as their starting running back. That will not be a gimme, but I think us being at home will be an advantage Broncos. But to call it a gimme, man, that was a big statement you just made.
I don't know what else you want me to say. You know, I got to evaluate the games 1 through 16. To me, that's the most winnable game, the first game of the year. Got all offseason to prepare for it. You're the healthiest you're going to be. You're playing at home, and you're playing a team that's kind of a mixed bag with a lot of different things going on. If you really think that Seattle game is one of the harder games of the year, then we're going to have a rough season. We're going to have a rough season. So what? What's an easier game? Is Oakland a more winnable game than Seattle?
Yes.
Oh, it is?
Because
why?
Their quarterback doesn't know what's going on. That quarterback
Derek Carr
knows.
Doesn't know what's going on?
He does not know what's going on.
Oh, okay.
That quarterback there in Seattle, that guy is a great player.
Yeah, no kidding. I agree with you on that.
So if you have a great player at quarterback, you got a shot.
Okay.
No, there's no Richard Sherman.
I mean, Peyton Manning put it to the Ravens' Joe Flacco with 7 touchdown passes.
Hey, that was Peyton Manning, who is a great player. If your quarterback's a great player, you got a chance to win every game.
Okay, I mean, look at the text line. If the Broncos don't beat Seattle, just fire Vance right on the field.
Wow. Really?
I mean, I think it's so winnable. I think it's a great...
Of course it's winnable, but to say it's a gimme...
I said lock, not gimme. I mean, if you want to say
what's
that's the
lock,
same thing.
What, I mean, what,
the
what's
easiest
the
lock. Like, if I were to have to put a gentleman's wager on any game for the Broncos to win this year, if I had to pick one, if I had to pick the most winnable game of the year, I would pick the first game of the season. If you had to pick the most winnable game, you would pick a road game in October in New York.
Or... a home game against the Cleveland Browns in December.
Okay.
Because I do believe the young players will be playing by then for both organizations.
So do you think the Broncos win their opening game of the year?
I think they have a shot. I mean, well, let's get through the preseason before we start calling out wins and losses.
All right. Fair enough. Let's go to Prospector. Prospector, you're on the Fan. What's up?
Yeah, well, last time I spoke, Al turned around and said he didn't think Jimmy Garoppolo was going to win 8 games for the 49ers. And I'd like to make a personal bet, a meal, a dinner, and the loser pays, either a head-to-head against the Broncos.
No, nobody wants to bet with you, Prospector. Nobody cares about eating with you.
Well, head-to-head against...
Prospector, do me a favor. Don't make Broncos, any bets, but just tell me...
Who has a better season?
Okay. The who? Who or who?
The 49ers or Denver Broncos.
All right, there you go. Thank you, Prospector. Good luck getting some quartz.
Well, I play for both of those teams. I hope both of them do well. We don't play the 49ers
this
year.
That's not his question. His question is, who do you think does better?
We do play the 49ers. We play at the 49ers.
Who do you think does better, the 49ers or Broncos this year?
It's
a fair question.
I think the Broncos will.
Okay.
I believe more in Case Keenum than I do in Jimmy Garoppolo, without a question.
You believe more in Vance Joseph than in Kyle Shanahan?
I do.
Really?
I do.
Why?
Because that conference that they play in is a beast. That is a beast of a conference.
On this text, no game is a lock in the NFL. Oh, my Lord.
I can't believe you do that. I mean...
Okay, every game is critically important.
The New York Giants
every
here.
Single game is unwinnable.
No,
every
I'm just
game.
Telling you, when we played the New
I
York
just
Giants
said it's
here,
the
you,
most
you know,
winnable.
Everybody said that was a gimme. I'm like, man, they have a Hall of Fame quarterback. They have a young group of wide receivers who are still trying to learn to
Dude,
play, but their running backs were playing good, and they had two great corners.
At the time, they were like 0-5.
That's right.
The Broncos' record as a team.
They had some fluky losses.
As a team, the Broncos have an unbelievable history of winning the game after the bye week.
Yeah, when you look at John Elway as your quarterback, it's going to be tilted. When Peyton Manning is your quarterback, it's going to be tilted.
The New York Giants game, on paper, is one of the worst home losses in Broncos history. Regular season.
What are you talking about?
I just said it.
Was that quarterback better than ours?
Everybody was better than ours last year.
Well, then why you call that?
Alfred, they hadn't won a game all year, and they'd been humiliated, and they were on the verge of like firing coaches.
That's not true.
That's all true.
No, they were in three of those games that they lost by a field goal or less. So don't say that the Giants were an awful team. They just didn't have the ball bouncing their way. The year that we won the Super Bowl, we won all those games that they lost last year.
What do you think? What was the point spread on that game? It had to be close to 17 points for the Broncos.
No way.
I think it was one of the highest point spread games that the Broncos have ever lost. Giants game last year. I don't know if you can go back and look up old point spreads, but... you'd be hard-pressed to think of a worse regular season loss in Broncos history.
Wow, you just have no respect.
I've got the Broncos at minus 13.5 against the Giants.
13.5.
Over, under 37.5.
Phew. It's a huge spread in the NFL.
Giants almost covered the Broncos spread that game.
That was a sign. That was a sign there's something wrong here. And boy, did it just fall apart after that.
That's great, Big Sexy.
I mean, you had a bye week. You were playing a team that hadn't won a game. You were favored by 13.5 points, and you got embarrassed. You didn't just lose. You got embarrassed. I couldn't believe what I was watching last year watching that.
I could.
Really? You were expecting the Giants to blow us out at home?
Listen, man.
Seriously?
Man, you got to understand that this league is built on quarterbacks, period.
Okay.
Built on quarterbacks. If your quarterback's having an awful day, you will lose 90% of the time.
Well, then the Broncos shouldn't win a game last year because we didn't play a team that we had a better quarterback than the other team. We should not have won a game last year. There was no game the Broncos played last year where Trevor Siemian was a better quarterback option than anybody else.
Trevor Siemian was better than Dak Prescott.
Trevor Siemian's a better quarterback than Dak Prescott.
That's right.
Really?
That's what I just said.
So you think Trevor Siemian, a backup in Minnesota, is better than the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys?
That's what I said, and I didn't stutter.
Okay. Anybody else? I mean, I think most people, if not all, would disagree with you. But
why?
Because they believe in Dak Prescott.
Who is Dak Prescott?
Who's Trevor Siemian?
He's a guy who had a 9-7 season and then came back and had a strong start and didn't get good coaching at the end.
Well, first of all, Trevor wasn't 9-7.
What an 8-7.
Yeah.
Yeah. Golly, man. You're such a...
I'm telling you. That Jacksonville game didn't win itself. You're in a saucy mood. Where's your head at here going into training camp?
I feel good, man. I feel good. I actually feel good. But the...
What truth bombs do you want to spit out here?
No, it's just that, you know, when we start talking about automatic wins and stuff, man, I mean, I just...
Not... I never said automatic.
What, you call it a lock?
I said the most winnable lock game. That's
you call it.
It
a lock.
You right,
call
forget, it, you know you what? Call, forget it. We're getting
you
caught
call
up
that
in
game against
forget
the Seattle Seahawks a lock.
What's the... You know, your game is the one game we... If I would have had to pick any game that I would have ever bet the Broncos were going to win last year, it would have been that home game against the Giants.
Not me.
I got it. You've made yourself clear on that. This year, I got Seattle. You got the Jets at New York, and you got Cleveland at home. You got Seattle being a tough game.
Every year we play them. Have you forgotten that the Broncos won Super Bowl 50 because of what the Seattle Seahawks did to us in Super Bowl 48. We changed the end. Listen, now you
is Cam Chancellor going to get out on that field for the Seahawks?
Hey, listen, they'll find a guy that's just like him.
Oh, really?
They'll still have Earl Thomas.
Gotcha. Marshawn Lynch playing running back for him?
No, but Rashard Penny is.
Okay, I'm exhausted.
Just don't
already.
Do that. Just don't start.
Sorry. Calling, every game is impossible to win.
Not impossible, but you... You make it seem like, you know...
I'm trying to be encouraging.
Because,
I was actually trying to be positive.
But I'm just saying you can't do that,
I can't be positive? I can't tell Broncos fans things
look good? You don't even know if we
good?
Make it through the preseason healthy.
Hey, Broncos fans.
I mean,
fans,
you just called a game a lock, and we haven't had one day of practice yet.
Broncos fans, I think a really good game to start with is going to be Seattle. I'm taking the Broncos even at this point. I think they're going to win that game.
If everybody's healthy... We have a solid chance to win that game. But the quarterback from Seattle, you don't respect him, I guess. You don't like him.
Oh, my
you
Lord.
You used to love him when there was talks about us possibly drafting
every
him.
Every single team has a great quarterback.
No, that's not true.
Every single one does.
That's not true. Do the Cincinnati Bengals have a great quarterback?
Yes.
Really?
Andy Dalton
is a great quarterback?
Sure.
Do the Oakland Raiders have a great quarterback?
Yes, Derek Carr is a great quarterback.
Derek Quarterback's a great quarterback.
Carr is a great quarterback.
Does Arizona have a great quarterback?
Yes, they have Sam Bradford and they have Josh Rosen.
Oh, he's a
Rosen.
Great quarterback.
Yes.
But not one that you wanted.
Who, Josh Rosen?
No, Sam Bradford.
Sam Bradford would have been great.
Okay, what about the Chiefs?
Chiefs have we'll see with the Chiefs, but I think he's going to be a great quarterback.
What about the Houston Texans?
Texans have a great quarterback, yeah. Hmm. Is he healthy?
The Baltimore Ravens?
Joe Flacco is a Super Bowl champion.
That's not what I asked you. Is the guy a great quarterback?
Yeah, they've got my man, Lamar Jackson. The Broncos need to toughen up a little bit. That's what Mark Schlereth says.
It's your daily exclamation mark with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Shomp BMW.
The biggest challenge is to make sure that this team becomes a physical football team. Their general manager complained about them being soft. He complained about them being soft last year. Then he had to backtrack. You know what? Don't backtrack. They were soft. That's an issue. And so for me, one of the things you have to look at is your ability to toughen this team up. You want to run the ball? You want to play a physical style? Man, that's a skill like anything else. Like, you work on throwing the ball, you work on catching the ball, you work on running routes. You need to work on your steps, your footwork, your get-offs, your hat placement to be able to be a physical football team. And the ancillary benefit to that is that you not only become a physical football team offensively, but you become a physical football team on the defensive side because you have to learn how to defend the run and defend those things. So I think that's something they need to do in training camp. I'm in agreement with Mike Evans. Doesn't happen very often, but I'm agreeing with Mike Evans. You know what? Turn it up, be physical, put the pads on, and beat the snot out of one another, and I can't wait to see them do that when they get their cleats on the ground.
Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans, Monday morning at 6 on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.